Today's critique focuses on an academic white paper titled Toward a Maturana-Informed Viability Grammar, which meticulously derives an 8-part diagnostic framework for determining whether human systems, from schools to civilizations, conserve or negate the fundamental conditions of living. Reorganizing the sequence of the paper to introduce the 8 diagnostic primitives earlier will significantly improve reader engagement and momentum.
Yeah, that structural shift is really crucial here.
It is, because the weakness is that the paper dedicates over 120 pages to this really rigorous philosophical derivation of concepts, you know, things like structural coupling, emotioning, and languaging, before finally revealing the actual 8 primitives in section 21.
Right, which is just a huge amount of reading.
Exactly. For an applied diagnostic framework, this exhaustive front-loading risks exhausting the reader. It basically buries the practical utility of the text under this massive prerequisite wall of theory.
I mean, I definitely felt that while reading. You're just wading through this mountain of abstract biology and epistemology, wondering when you're actually going to get to the tools.
Which brings us to the suggestion. The author should restructure the opening to provide a comprehensive preview of the 8 primitives right after the introduction.
Okay, so just put them right up front.
Yes, and then use the philosophical derivations that follow as deep dives into each specific tool, rather than, you know, having them act as barriers to entry.
That makes a lot of sense. Do you have some concrete examples of how they could actually execute that?
I do. So they should move the summary table of the diagnostic primitives, which is currently hidden, all the way back in Appendix A, directly into the executive summary, or like Chapter 3.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that table is in the appendix. It's so useful. It really needs to be at the front.
Exactly. You introduce the tools briefly up front. Then you explicitly frame the subsequent chapters like living, emotioning, languaging, as the necessary grounding for utilizing primitives like constraint or possible doings.
I see the structural issue, but I do want to push back a little. Is there a risk that focusing solely on giving the tools early might overlook Maturana's core warning that we shouldn't impose systems on living before understanding the medium?
That's a fair question. The author is clearly terrified of these tools being weaponized.
Right. Because if you hand a corporate manager a tool called constraint on page 10 without the philosophy, they might just use it to, you know, aggressively fire underperforming staff. They totally miss the point that constraint is about relational dynamics, not punishment.
Yeah, but, well, think of it this way. It's like teaching someone to drive by making them build the engine first.
Oh, I like that.
Right? Showing them the steering wheel early on actually helps them understand why the engine matters. If I know that margin is a diagnostic tool I'll eventually use to evaluate my own community, I'm going to pay way closer attention when I read the dense theory about how a living system undergoes congruent changes.
That's true. Knowing the destination actually helps the reader's brain process all that heavy lifting in the middle sections.
Precisely. If we give them the tools early, we just also need to show them exactly how to use them in the real world. Grounding the abstract diagnostic grammar in a single sustained narrative case study will bridge the gap between philosophical depth and practical application.
Yes, absolutely. Because the weakness right now is that while the text provides excellent generalized examples of systems, like mentioning how a school might conserve shame or a clinic might conserve objectification, they're just so brief.
They are. They're entirely hypothetical and fleeting.
Right. And they leave the reader to do the heavy lifting of operationalizing dense concepts like consensual coordination of doings in a complex, messy, real-world scenario.
Which is incredibly hard to do. So the suggestion here is to weave a continuous, detailed case study throughout the entire text to demonstrate the primitives dynamically interacting in a specific environment over time.
Instead of just jumping from a hypothetical school to a hypothetical political system?
Exactly. You lock the reader into one ecosystem and watch the gears turn. As a concrete example, the author could choose a high-stakes setting, such as a specific hospital, attempting to shift from a throughput and control culture to a healing and trust culture.
Okay, I can visualize that. How would that look chapter by chapter?
Well, early on, you introduce a nurse working a grueling 12-hour shift. The text uses the term structural coupling, right?
Right. The history of recurrent interactions between organism and environment.
Yes.
So rather than leaving that abstract, you show the nurses to actual coupling. You describe how the constant alarm bells, the short staffing, the punitive management, how all of that is physically altering the nurse's nervous system.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You show them being forced to adapt by becoming emotionally detached just to survive the shift.
That immediately clarifies the biology. You literally see the environment triggering an internal change in the human being.
Exactly. And then you revisit this exact same hospital in the margin section to show how systemic time constraints fundamentally dictate bedside care.
Because margin is the room that remains for viable change.
Right. So you show our nurse operating with zero margin. When a patient asks a complex emotional question, the nurse has no time, no margin to explore it, and is forced into a purely transactional interaction.
That is such a powerful way to ground it.
And it builds. Later in the disturbance section, you introduce a patient crisis. The theoretical concept is that a disturbance triggers a response, but the response is determined by the system's present structure.
Right. So a hospital built on a present structure of throughput processes that crisis as, like, a bureaucratic bottleneck.
Exactly. Whereas the hospital built on a present structure of healing would process the exact same disturbance as a call for intensive care.
The material makes a strong case for how emotioning dictates behavior by highlighting how a medical diagnosis can either be care or domination.
Building on that point, what if we looked at it from the perspective of the practitioner trying to implement this? Does the current text show them how to change that emotioning in a Tuesday morning staff meeting?
The gestures toward it, but, you know, the sustained case study is what would actually cement it.
Exactly.
Because it would allow the author to visually contrast how a staff meeting functions when the relational domain shifts from fear to what the text defines as love.
And we should clarify that definition, because the paper defines love not as a romantic sentiment, but as the specific domain of relational behaviors in which another living being arises as legitimate and coexistence.
That is just a stunning definition. Love as granting mutual legitimacy.
Yes. So in the case study, you don't just say the hospital achieved love. You show the hospital administrator in a budget meeting treating a struggling nurse as a legitimate human being.
Right, where their exhaustion is valid data rather than treating them as a defective cog in the machine.
Exactly. That interaction brilliantly illustrates love as an operational ethic. It makes the abstract visible.
I really follow the logic of the hospital scenario, but, and just to play devil's advocate here, could the framework be better served by a different environment, like a public school?
Why a school?
Well, the text repeatedly mentions schools conserving a fear of error. A hospital carries a lot of inherent life or death drama. I wonder if that might distract from the subtle, everyday relational shifts the viability grammar is trying to measure.
I can definitely see the argument for a school. A school attempting to transition from a culture of ranking and shame to one of curiosity and mutual legitimacy would be a phenomenal canvas.
Right?
But honestly, the key isn't the specific industry. The critical factor is the sustained continuity of the narrative.
Just returning to the same place over and over?
Yes. By returning to the same school or the same hospital chapter after chapter, the reader builds this intimate, three-dimensional understanding of how constraint, regulation, and possible doings recursively interact within one recognizable ecosystem.
It gives them a controlled laboratory.
Exactly. Which brings us perfectly to the final critique on visual mapping. Explicitly integrating the visual metaphor of the tree diagram into the structural headings of the text will create a much stronger conceptual anchor for the reader.
Oh, the tree diagram. I love that image in the introduction.
It's beautiful, right? But the weakness is that this rich visual metaphor is largely abandoned in the text itself. The paper just reverts to a purely linear numbered academic format.
Yeah, section 4.1, 4.2.
Right. And as a result, the reader quickly loses their spatial bearing within the framework. They forget where they are in the organism.
It's such a missed opportunity, especially since the text warns so aggressively against flat world explanations, where we collapse everything into one layer.
Exactly. So the suggestion is to use the anatomical structure of the tree as an explicit framing device for the paper's main sections. You continually remind the reader where they are in the viability grammar.
How would they actually do that in the formatting?
As a concrete example, they should rename major section groupings to reflect the visual map. So you have the roots, present structure and regulation.
Okay, yeah.
Then you have the relational ground, or the trunk, which is love and coexistence. And finally, the canopy, margin and possible doings.
That's fascinating. But what are the potential limitations to that idea? Could leaning too hard on the tree metaphor risk reducing human cultural complexity to simple botany?
That's a valid concern, because the paper does distinguish heavily between the biological domain and the biological cultural domain. But the goal isn't to be literal.
Right.
The goal is to use the tree as a spatial map, so the reader doesn't get lost in the dense forest of terminology.
I see. It's just an anchor.
Exactly. And let's look at how disturbance operates within this metaphor. You can explicitly reference the imagery of weather.
Oh, like a storm hitting the tree?
Yes. A violent storm batters the branches, which are the possible doings, but the shock is absorbed, mitigated, or catastrophic, depending entirely on the history and depth of the roots.
That is a perfect way to explain structural coupling without needing 50 pages of epistemology.
Right.
Because, like, a specific piece of critical feedback might trigger profound learning if there's a relational history of trust. But that exact same criticism, the same wind, might trigger paralyzing shame if the history is one of humiliation.
Exactly.
If the reader is holding the tree metaphor in their mind, they instantly grasp that the wind doesn't dictate how the tree bends. The bending is determined exclusively by the present structure of the roots.
And tying the trunk specifically to love is so aligned with the paper's thesis.
Because if the trunk rots, the canopy dies. All the possible doings up top have to grow directly out of mutual legitimacy in coexistence.
Yes, and it also visually anchors the concept of suffering. The paper defines suffering as the conserved negation of love.
Right, a restriction of the relational domain.
So the reader can visualize suffering as a physical constriction in the trunk that cuts off nutrients to the margin in the possible doings.
Having the tree as a continuous visual anchor would make it infinitely easier for a reader to hold all these complex definitions simultaneously. It keeps the diagnostic process feeling organic rather than like a corporate spreadsheet.
Exactly. To recap the main points of our critique, the white paper is conceptually brilliant, but it can be significantly elevated by restructuring to introduce the primitives earlier, anchoring the theory with a sustained practical case study, and carrying the tree metaphor throughout the text to guide the reader.
Yeah. So, to summarize the actionable suggestions for the listener, move the Appendix A to the front, thread a single hospital or school narrative across the chapters, and rename the sections to align with the visual tree diagram.
Perfect. We warmly invite the listener to implement these suggestions and submit their revised work back in for another round of feedback.